All right. Welcome to another edition of the Beer Opinions Podcast. As always, I'm Pat Berger, and with me is Bruce White. Bruce, how you doing, man?
Doing well. The sun is shining today. I don't know if you saw that orange ball in the sky.
I did. Yeah. It's about 24 degrees, but yeah, it's nice and sunny. Yeah. Perfect curling weather.
Yeah, it is.
Shameless plug.
Awesome.
We are in the basement of Kaiser Tiger right now. We've moved down to the basement, hopefully for some better sound quality as opposed to the upstairs. Everyone can let us know what they think. And we finally have a guest again, a very special guest, a good friend of mine and a wonderful person, the queen of lagers of Chicago, Ms. Tracy Hurst.
Nobody makes me blush, Pat. Stop it.
There, a special shout out to Barnabas Schnickney, who contacted me through Facebook. He was dying to have the two of us on a podcast again.
I know, it's been too long.
It has been too long. We've had a few on the Industry Roundtable podcast, the Beer Temple one, and always a lot of fun and always a pleasure to talk to you, Tracy.
Ditto.
And of course, because we have Tracy here and because I love lagers, we're going to talk about lagers.
I can do that.
Right?
Yeah. I do it all the live long day. I never tire of it, actually.
We're all drinking lager right now.
Yep.
I'm having a Helles Erzbacher, I think it's called, and from a small brewery in Germany. Chris, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking the...
Bruce. It's Bruce.
Either one works. I'm actually a shout out to Metropolitan. I'm drinking that. I believe it's Magnetron.
That's Generator.
Generator.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the Doppelbock.
Our Doppy. Yep.
Oh,
I can tell by looking at it.
Yeah. This is going to be podcast is going to get a little looser as I go on.
Yeah.
This one's got a good ABV, as I recall, right?
Like I say, it's 8.2% unless you're the feds. Then it's 8%. Taxes go up after 8%.
Unfortunately, I don't think the feds are listening.
Yeah. These days.
No. But yeah, you don't taste it, do you? It's super smooth,
it's
super easy.
So good.
Yeah.
I think we've paired this with the sometimes the Jowl Bacon at Patty Long's. A little shout out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because the sweetness just goes so well. It's such a decadent. Oh, it's so good.
Yep.
So,
interestingly, the Pollinger monks originally brewed Doppelbock to consume during Lent when they were abstaining from eating, when they were fasting.
Okay.
So instead of eating, because they believed, and probably still do, that fluids cleanse the soul and cleanse the body. So that's why they don't eat solid food, but in order to take the edge off being bitchy from not eating, they're drinking. And in fact, Doppelbock in Germany is 10 to 12%.
Wow.
So ours is actually on the low end of that.
When you're not eating, you always want to go up on the alcohol content.
That's
right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. Fill the belly, warm the soul.
There was a guy, I don't know if you guys heard this, who fasted. He's out of Kansas City.
Yep.
I want to say it was a few years ago, and he did the beer diet.
Yep.
It was like 40 days.
He did. He did Lent.
He did.
On nothing but beer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly lost some weight. His cholesterol went down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I should do it.
Yeah. Me too.
Who's going to drive me to work?
Yeah.
Uber. I'll be spending a lot of money on Uber.
I think the first thing, he couldn't eat solid food after that because, you know, his system was just adjusted to liquid. So I think, pretty sure the first thing he ate after that, you'll appreciate this, Pat, was a bacon milkshake. Like, there you go.
I can see that.
Ease your body back into it, right?
Yeah, sure. Some dairy and bacon.
Yes.
That's great for you. Right,
yeah,
after that
system. Yeah.
That's good BM. All right, so lagers now.
And mine too.
Oh, yeah, Tracy,
yeah, I'm
what are
also
you drinking.
I am drinking one of my top five favorite beers made by my good friends at Half Acre. They started up in Chicago the same summer that we did. They were on the market for a year before we were. They were brewing their beer in Wisconsin, and they opened their brewery on Lincoln the same summer that we opened up in Ravenswood. And they started making this Pony Pils a few years later, and it's outstanding. I absolutely love it. It's Czech style, so it's going to be a little bit hoppier and more bitter than, say, my Flywheel Pilsner. But I absolutely love it. And I know them. The first one I tried, I texted Gabe, and I said, wow, fuck you for making such a great lager in my city. By the way, am I good to express myself?
Yeah, okay, good. We're internet only, so you can fuck
okay,
it up all go, day long.
Awesome. I probably will. Yeah, that's an entry. I love it. One of my, in fact, I go in there and they just hand me a 4-pack. They know I love it. So.
And just for listeners out there, mainly my dad, who doesn't really know the beer scene here, this is such an honor because Chicago's beer scene is, in terms of craft, is pretty new and has exploded really the last 5 years. Metropolitan is kind of a wily, an old veteran of that beer scene.
It's weird to be OG when we're 8 years old.
Yeah, right.
Certainly
right.
We are. Yeah.
Because it was, I want to say, you and Half Acre and you were before Revolution.
Yep.
Before,
Rev wasn't too far after us, maybe a year or two. Yeah. Oh, no, they just announced their 7th anniversary, so 1 year younger than we are.
Okay, yeah. And so so it's awesome. So,
yeah, cool. Thanks. Yeah. We got a lot of shit when we opened up, you know, Chicago. Nobody in Chicago likes good beer. We're looking around, you know, we love good food, good sports, good art, photography, music. Don't tell me that people in Chicago don't appreciate great beer. Also, Chicago is a central hub for shipping, so we've had lots of good beer here all along. Mm-hmm. It was just a matter of making it here. And then, of course, we got shit for making lagers. We can talk about that coming up here, but we just believe in it. We believed in Chicago. We believed in what we were doing, and look what happened. You know, we kind of opened the door for a lot of people to do good work here.
Yeah, that's awesome.
No doubt. When you guys first opened, you know, I was not ordering anything from Windy City Distributing, only because I couldn't get a hold of my rep.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would call the office occasionally for the occasional cake. But once I had my first Metro, you guys were brand new, and, and you know, it was like a lager brewery, finally. This is happening. You know, lagers are the next big thing, which I've been saying for 15 years. And only last year have I turned out to be right.
I think you were all along.
14 years of being wrong. But, you know, I was determined to get my Windy City rep in there so I could get the Metro on tap. And,
yep, I remember that.
And we have carried it ever since.
And it's a huge honor. I love your spot, and, you know, I love the fact that I'm probably the only vegan that hangs out at a bacon pub on the regular.
That is probably true.
But you guys are great for whiskey. The ambiance is great. Your staff is great. The beer is great. I just can't quit Patty Long's. I never will. And now Kaiser, I love hanging out here, too. But when I, you know, it's great to get placements. It sells beer. It keeps me in a job, but... Well, my beer is in a place where the owner, I really like the owner, and we're buds. That means even more. So.
Oh, stop. Keep going.
I know.
Keep going.
He took me to Sabbath this year. I'm just saying.
We did have fun at Sabbath.
Yes, right? We did.
I haven't seen you guys do shots of Malort at Patty's, or have I?
Oh, probably.
If you haven't been at Patty's too much.
Gotta follow the Instagrams here. There's some good stuff going on.
You know, I drink a lot of Malort for someone that hates Malort.
But I like it.
I love everything about Malort, except the flavor of Malort. Isn't that weird?
Yes, yeah.
But, you know, I had one yesterday.
Yeah.
It just keeps creeping into my diet. I don't know how.
I love it. I really like it. I can taste the differences between batches, and we were doing shots at
I can too, you know, and unfortunately or fortunately, I don't know which it is, but Sam Mecklin, our common friend who is the Malort man, he, you know, I don't know if we want to disclose this on the podcast, he lives above Patty Lance.
Sorry, Sam.
But
now you know where to send the hate mail for all you Malort haters.
Stalkers. They know where to find him anyway. He also bartends at Patty Lance occasionally. Yeah. And he will, every time a new batch comes in, he makes me try it. And there are differences. The differences are just in the wormwood and the quality of the wormwood that he gets. And the worse it is, the happier Sam is.
Yeah.
You know? Worse I'm like, wow, Sam, that is really disgusting. And he'd be like, great, good.
I think it's just about being bitter.
Yeah,
if you like bitters,
yeah.
If you like bitterness, then you're going to like the liqueur, for sure. And for me, you know, my job, because I don't know what I did in a past life, like saved a bushel of puppies or something, but my job is drinking with people. And I love Malort because the ABV is a little lower, so I can maintain and, you know, still keep up my party rep.
It is. That's how it became the bartender shot.
Yeah.
Because you could, you know.
Well, I also think you remember how many you had.
You know? So you can keep count. Because otherwise, you know, some of the other liquors,
yeah,
you can lose track and all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know,
between Malort and Sriracha, if anything, if either of those runs out in my brewery, they shut down operations until we replenish. Sriracha or Malort. Yeah.
That's good. Maybe there needs to be a, you know, like sommeliers are for wine, Cicerone for beer.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there needs to be something for Malort. You know,
that would
a
be
crazy
Sam.
Person.
Yeah. That's
a crazy person.
You have Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They already have Sam.
We're describing Sam.
Thank God he doesn't listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
So, back to lager, right? Mm-hmm. So let's get back to lager, and just for an overview for those of you listening who may not be sure what the difference between lager and ale is. Although, if you're listening to this, you probably know. But it is in the yeast. The yeast is the difference. And there are two different, they're literally in different families. And the ale yeast likes to operate at a warm temperature. And it's what we call a top fermenting yeast because it does its business on top of the beer. And the lager yeast is a bottom fermenting yeast. And it can do its business at a colder temperature. It can do its business at a warmer temperature too. But it is able to do it at a colder temperature, which happens on the bottom.
Right.
So it is a bottom fermenting yeast, and the slower, colder fermentation impedes the production of what are called phenols.
Mm-hmm.
And phenols are give kind of a fruity flavor to beer, a yeasty fruity flavor that is prevalent in all ales,
mm-hmm,
and is reduced significantly in a lager, creating that crisp aftertaste or lack of an aftertaste.
Right, very dry. Dry, clean, and well-balanced.
Right, yeah.
Those are the three words that characterize well-made lagers.
Absolutely. And, yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, if my history is correct, I believe that lagers really weren't on the scene until, I mean, they were, but we didn't really understand a lot of the science of brewing and beer and really what yeast was for a long time. And it was 1840s town of Pilsen. We have Pilsner kind of really paving the way for really now lagers dominate in terms of beer percentage.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. As far as isolating the lager yeast strain, that happened at the Carlsberg Brewery for the first time. You know, when the Germans came up with the Reinheitsgebot, the German brewery purity law, brewing, they didn't even know yeast existed. You know, fermentation was a magical thing. Still is pretty magical, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
And,
still
a lot we don't know about it, but we should probably unplug that phone if we're not interrupted with ringing right underneath it, Stuart. And so, you know, it wasn't even part of the Reinheitsgebot. There were only three ingredients of beer later when yeast was discovered to be the
workhorse.
Main source there, the workhorse.
Mm-hmm.
Then it became yeast, water, malt, and hops.
Yep.
Yes, Pilsner, Pilsner beer, first brewed by a German in the town of Pilsen at Pilsner Urquell, what is now Pilsner Urquell, was revolutionary for the time because it was a clear, light-colored beer, and glass production had sort of given the brewers a reason to make their beer pretty. Before that, most beer was drank out of ceramic mugs or pewter. You
mm-hmm.
couldn't see into it, so it didn't really matter how muddy the beer is or what color it was. And most beer, in fact, was pretty muddy and brown and, you know,
mm-hmm.
not pretty looking. So once glasses came into it and people could see what they were drinking, this light-colored beer out of the Czech Republic or Czechoslovakia, as it was known then, took over the world and is now the number one brewed style on the planet.
The German Beer Institute reports that 9 out of 10 beers consumed around the world is a Pilsner.
Which,
wow.
I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And that is a lot of beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's breweries making lots of beer, calling their beer Pilsner that, you know, me as a BJCP judge would not consider Pilsner.
Right.
Talking to you, Miller Lite.
adjuncts.
Yeah. Well, you know, adjuncts and, you know, zero hop flavor and all the rest of it. But technically those are pilsners.
Right. Pilsner-based, maybe.
Right. And definitely responsible for, I think, the misconception of lager in general, mm-hmm. certainly of pilsners, that it's, you know, fizzy yellow beer that has no flavor and
mm-hmm.
and all the Sin. Rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, thanks to American craft brewers and the German breweries who kept this tradition alive forever through the Rheinheitsgebot, we're seeing a resurgence, right?
We are. I got listening to what you were saying, and I forgot what I was going to say.
I have that effect on
you. Yeah.
Tracy. Nice job with the phone, sir.
Yeah, right?
I don't know. There's one right under it.
Cut power to the building.
It's unplugged.
Nobody call Kaiser Tiger right now, okay? You're interrupting.
Yeah, that is, you know, my business partner who studied in Germany. That's the mission. That's the story we're trying to tell. Is that lager is just a way of making beer.
Phone up there, just underneath it, just unplugged.
No, I mean, it's already unplugged.
No. Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So that's the story we're trying to tell, and that's why our four year-round beers include a hybrid beer, a Kolsch, a nice, delicate, blonde-colored beer, Dynamo, our Vienna lager, an amber-colored beer, Flywheel, our Pils, is a golden beer, golden colored, and then Magnetron is jet black. So just in the four beers we make year round, you get a nice round experience of what lagering is. It doesn't happen a lot anymore, but way, you know, 8 years ago when I started working in this world, people would say, oh, I don't like lagers. And I'd respond with, well, that's like saying I don't like soup. You know, it's just a way of making beer. There are hundreds of variations within the family, and it's just a matter of finding one that appeals to you. The macros kind of messed things up.
They did. And that brings up an interesting point. I heard that last week, by the way, from someone. I don't drink lagers. I don't like lagers.
Ugh.
And, you know, I don't want to, you know, shit on them, but it is kind of a... uninformed opinion, and it is formed on these, you know, these massive macro lagers that you know, which I still enjoy from time to time, but which, you know, have aren't very flavorful.
Mm-hmm.
And lagers, as we just, you know, noted, the only difference is this yeast. You can really make it as flavorful as you want.
You make it any way you want.
Mm-hmm. And people are now.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I think that's a trend we're going to see. We're going to see some weird ass lagers,
right?
For good and for bad.
Yeah.
Lagers strike back.
Well,
yeah.
There are lots of reasons why American craft breweries didn't really jump into making lagers. Really, very good, solid reasons not to do it. And one of them is that it's not easy.
Right.
That you have to be meticulous. You have to be smart. You have to understand both science and art. And that's why, you know, our head brewer is so good at what he does. Is he's, you know, very smart. He about brewing beer. Did you see that qualification?
We're talking about Doug Hurst,
talking
the
about
way.
My ex-husband. So let's just get that out on the table. He's smart about beer.
and Star Trek trivia.
And but no, he is by far one of the best brewers walking right now, and it's because he understands how to make lagers. He understands how to speak that language and how to get yeast to do what he needs it to do. It's not an easy thing. Some of the lagers I'm finding out in the world, you know, some aside, obviously Pony Pils and their, you know, Smutty Nose makes Wunderbar, which is absolutely outstanding. We can't get it here in the Midwest, but it's wonderful. I find a lot of under-attenuated lagers, and these are people who just didn't understand to give it the time that it needs. Or there are off flavors because they didn't understand temperature control. It just takes a lot of education, it takes a lot of practice, and it takes some bravery to understand how to do something like this.
And is some of that, too, because the kind of traditional lager, you know, the flavors are a little more nuanced and not as on the nose.
Right.
So, like, you can't bury...
Right.
Those when you mess up, like a double IPA, not to pick on that style, but mm-hmm. you can cover a lot of deficiencies in a beer.
Yeah.
We kind of, you've mentioned this before.
Oh, yeah. Let's pick on that style.
Yeah,
yeah,
we should.
And
there's
Russian,
a couple others.
Russian Imperial Stouts.
Yeah, yeah.
Two beers that I'd love, mm-hmm. but should they take up 90% of the top 50 beers on Rate Beer? They do.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
In fact, maybe more than 90%. There's maybe one Saison on there. There's zero lagers on
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, lagers are the hardest beer to brew.
Yep.
When someone comes to me and says, oh, I'm going to make my first batch of homebrew, what should I make? An Imperial Stout, because it is the easiest
yep.
fucking beer to make.
Yep.
You load as much malt in your mash tun as you can.
Yep.
It will hide any mistakes you made. You can even way over hop it. No one's going to notice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, voila, you have a beer that, you know, you can make a festival around and people will line up, you
right.
know, to pay for it.
You know, like anything else, the very thing that challenges, that very challenge is what makes it beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So just be, you know, you can't hide, it's about nuance. You can't hide those mistakes behind the yeast, but what's so great about it is you're celebrating the ingredients the brewer decided to use. So you're tasting the different malts. You're tasting the noble hops or the American hybrids of noble hops. So that very thing that is such a pain in the ass is what makes it so beautiful and so worth that effort and that extra time and energy. You're talking about, you know, honestly, we're a brewery full of ding-dongs that really don't give a crap about accolades and things like that. What we want is to make people happy. We want people to understand nuance and to be really satisfied with their beer experience. And German lagers are a great place for you to go for something like that. Our Vienna lager, not my top seller, but I find that really sharp, nuanced palates like Dynamo, because you get all this beautiful, sweet, soft, malty flavor in the beginning, little bit of hops just to remind you that it's beer, and then it finishes super clean. It's actually a really fun beer to drink. It captures your attention, and then you can forget about it and eat your fucking sausage and, you know, enjoy the experience. So that very thing that we're talking about is what really fuels us to find that beauty and show that to people.
I'm not trying to plug my tours, actually, but this just reminded me, like,
mm-hmm.
we go to Lemmings in Bucktown
yeah.
on our Bucktown tour, and they care a lot of Metropolitan.
Yes,
beer
they
there.
Do, yeah.
And they've had the copper lager, and we usually, when we go in there, we get a Chicago-style hot dog from George's right up the street.
Sure.
And so we eat that immediately when we get in with our first tasting. That beer pairs the best by far.
Yep.
With that hot dog, and we've been going there since 2012 and tried multiple combinations, but
mm-hmm.
it's just great. And, you know, a lot of other styles of beer would just either overpower the hot dog or would just not stand up to it, you know, so that
mm-hmm.
Just goes to that.
It's
yeah.
about support. And, you
yeah.
know, that's German. I like to say the Germans have a reputation for drinking all the live long day, and it's because they do. So the beer has to pair well with food. It has to pair well with life. It's integrated into life. And, you know, if your beer is distracting you from what you're eating or your group of friends that you're hanging out with, then that's not the job it should be doing. It should be in a supportive role.
Absolutely. I can't imagine going to a baseball game and washing down my hot dog with an Imperial Stout.
No.
God,
oh, God, no.
Or a double IPA.
Or a double IPA.
Or even an IPA.
Yeah. Nice 90-degree day in the Wrigley Bleachers.
Butt-heavy salt day. Yeah. Shout out to my beer vendor, Bob. He always puts one, because nobody drinks Butt-heavy. They all want Bud Light. But he keeps one six-pack of Butt-heavy. Comes over to our seats every time.
Nice.
Make sure that I get mine.
Talking swill, I'm a Tecate girl.
Oh, nice. Do you do the lime or no lime?
Oh, I was in Wisconsin last week. I put it on my social media, so anyone listening watches my social media already knows the story I'm going to tell. But I went to, because Wisconsin, man, they know how to drink
yes.
up there. And, you know, I was with a sales rep, and we hit an account, and they were doing Boilermaker specials, and I am an absolute, Boilermakers are my kryptonite. So I did a shot of tequila and a Tecate, and the bartender took the lime and ran it around the top of the can and then took a sprinkling of rock salt and sprinkled salt on it And I tried it, and the sky opened up over my head, and angels sang. It was absolutely the best experience. So, yes, the answer is yes on lime and salt with my Tecate. But I love it. I mean, it's corn cut, and if you drink too many, it's going to make you feel like crap the next day, literally. But as swill goes, I think it's a great choice.
Yeah.
You know, there's room for beers like that, for sure.
You know, and I'd also like to point out that lager brewers, especially on the craft level, are taking another huge risk in the fact that you can brew probably 3 IPAs in the time it takes to make a proper lager.
Depending on how long you lager. For us, it would be 2. So we turn a tank around in a month.
So you're cutting your production in half.
In half, yeah. Indeed. And you can't charge more because you can't task your accounts to try and explain why someone should pay more. So we run, the German ethic runs throughout our brewery. Very lean, very mean, very smart, cross-trained. We all put in a lot of hours, but, we're there because we love the work.
In fact, sometimes you have to charge less because people expect lagers to cost less.
Thank you, macros.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thanks to the $12.30 pack at the store.
Anyway.
I can smell the diacetyl on that beer from here.
Couldn't tell you last time I had a natty.
Oh, college, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
Some dark days.
Stuart's shrugging. He probably had one yesterday.
Yeah.
Bush, actually, because of the commercial. They reshot the Super Bowl ad from 78.
Yes, they did. Yes, so it's an immigrant, a pro-immigrant ad coming from...
No.
You're not
that's
talking about that?
AB
nope,
that,
that's,
did that
that's, that's the Budweiser one. The one I'm talking about is they actually reshot a... Deutsch actually reshot it.
Well, you know, I'm from St. Louis, so we grow up drinking Busch in our garages. I don't know why, but on a Saturday, you open the garage door and put out a lounge chair, and you have a cooler there full of Busch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 110 degrees, and you slam down Busch beers in your garage for some reason.
Because you hide it behind the tennis rackets and it keeps.
In Milwaukee, it was Miller. So
of course.
Yeah, obviously Miller. And then in college, Huber. And I was out selling beer on Tuesday, and I found cases of Huberbach, which I didn't think happened anymore, but sure as shit, they are selling cases of Huberbach again.
They still make it. I
not
had one recently at, no, not returnables. No one's doing returnables anymore.
I know. That when I was in college, though, I'm pretty sure I got bottles back that I had already had beers out of, because it was returnables in those hard cardboard cases that big long sides of the case fold open and shut.
You could always tell the returnables. It was a lot heavier.
Yep.
And it had the scrape marks from the bottling line.
Yep.
On the top and the bottom.
Yep, on the shoulders. They were all roughed up.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Why we got away from returnables, I will never know.
I know a little bit. It's because the equipment and facilities you need in order to do that are basically the size of a small brewery. It's a whole other business plan in and of itself. And you'd have to get every, breweries on board to do something. It's not like a brewery's going to have that. It would have to be one that would serve a whole region's breweries. So it's just not a business model we do here.
Kind of like kegs. Like you can,
Still done in Germany.
Yes. Yeah. I would definitely use a returnable service if that was available to us. Absolutely.
Dave Jamello over at the Green Mill would not sell a beer unless it came in a returnable bottle.
No kidding.
But obviously those dried up.
Yeah.
So, not anymore.
This is awesome that you did the lagers, and you kind of touched on this earlier on. You know, I'm reading 25% of American craft beer sales are IPAs. Have you felt, I'm sure you've felt pressure since the day you opened to kind of go that route?
All the time.
Yeah.
No, when we were writing our business plan and doing research and traveling around the country, the breweries that we admired the most, the beer that we liked the most, came from breweries where people made the beer they wanted to make, that they liked. So that's that was a decision we made early on. You can either make beer that you like and kill it, do it really well, and then convince people why it's good, or you can follow trends. Mm-hmm. And neither my business partner nor myself were really interested in following trends because, you know, here's a funny dichotomy. It's seen as risky to do lagers, but if you step foot off the United States, most of the beer consumed is lager. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, we weren't taking a huge risk.
Right.
It's just a matter of convincing people of what we were doing. So that's why we did it. For a minute, we were going to be a Belgian beer brewery, which back in 2009 would still have been kind of cutting edge. Now you see more of that. Honestly, we decided to do German-style beers, partly because Doug studied there, and partly because I don't like Belgian beer as much. I mean, I know a good one when I taste one, but I don't like the yeast characteristic. And, you know, this was just something we could both speak to. So it was a matter of just, you know, starting a business takes bravery, I mean, you know, as it is. So you may as well do something that really makes you happy and make it work.
Sure.
So yeah, and we still do. I mean, we worked a couple of beer fests a weekend ago where I did the first session and some of the guys did the second session, and someone told one of the guys that our Doppelbach wasn't actually a lager and that we should put more hops in it and make it an IPA. Because of course this person knows what
expert.
It's like to
yes.
run a brewery. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah,
a lot
we get
experts at those beer fests.
After especially the second session, right? Or the end of the second
end
session.
End of the sessions,
right.
Yep. So yeah, we do get a lot of pressure and we do feel a lot of pressure, and you know, lagers, craft beer nerds are fickle people, and if they get into lagers, that's great. They may not be in the lagers 10 years from now. We're still gonna be around doing our thing.
Yeah.
But we, you know, that was another thing about our business plan is beer nerds are great. They talk about you, they, you know, go on and they rate you and they follow your social media, and but they are not gonna pay the bills. What's going to pay the bills is making good beer that people like to drink, and that is easy for bartenders to sell. It's easy for bar owners to put in their inventory. That's how you make your money. You know, being an establishment in Chicago, being a part of the Chicago community, that is what we knew was going to help our brewery succeed. If you're constantly kowtowing to the tastes of people who may or may not know what it's like to do something like this, you're just going to be chasing wisps forever. You're not really getting into something. You're getting really good at it.
Yeah. That's a good point. Pat and I have talked about that on previous podcasts where it's like trying to, the trends and the new things, and Pat gets curmudgeon-y and it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm old.
No.
And then you mentioned this, Pat, that now lagers are kind of, and I was looking for data. I think it was 2015 was what I could find. It was over like 100% growth year over year, and I think it was Pilsner specifically. So are you kind of seeing that market swing back?
And, one thing we did do is the great Randy Mosher is our graphic designer, and if you know anything about beer, you know that name. he's a Chicagoan, and I like to say his Clark Kent is graphic design, his Superman is beer recipes and homebrewing. 8 years ago, we started our brewery on Flywheel and Dynamo, our Pilsner and our Vienna. And, you know, we told him, this is a Pilsner. And he said, well, you know, you really don't want to call it a Pilsner because you want to set yourself apart from the macros who identify their beers as Pilsners. Well, now, flash forward 8 years, what's everybody doing? Brewing, well, trying to brew Pilsners. So we actually changed the packaging to reflect that. We used to call it Flywheel Bright Lager. Now it's called Flywheel Pilsner Beer, is that's what it is. And I noticed that people are responding to it more. And I laugh because these, you know, comes across my Facebook feed or, you know, beer websites and things like that. Oh, the Pilsner is this new great thing. As I crack open a Flywheel and go, oh, great idea, guys. Oh, that's really ingenious of you to be brewing a fucking Pilsner.
And, you know, also, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you guys first opened, weren't you afraid that Flywheel just had a little too much hops to land itself in the Pilsner category, which, you know, is hilarious now because anyone who's, you know, seen some of these new Pilsners that drink like a freaking IPA,
yeah.
You know, Flywheel is not
nope.
a hoppy beer. But you guys were such sticklers about the Pilsner category in itself that you're like, oh, well, you know, the Germans wouldn't hop it this much.
That's right.
So
we call it a Bohemian Pils because right. if you look up the German Beer Institute definitions, the Bohemian Pils is identified as better balanced, a little more malty. And that was my one contribution to the recipes of our beers because I let, you know, the expert, I call him the wizard in our landing party. I let the wizard make those decisions, but I really like Vienna malt, and I like the way it finishes. I like that sort of bread, biscuit, almost like a cookie-flavored finish. So we actually throw a teeny bit of Vienna malt into Flywheel. You can't see it in the color. The beer is still golden from the Pilsner malt, but you get that finish from the malt, and it's all, again, about being balanced. Yeah, of our beers, it's a hoppier beer in our lineup, but the malt is there to balance it out. A really good example that some of the, you know, people who've been involved in beer for a while will remember is Bell's Two Hearted, which is an IPA. It is hopped up to the gills, but they turn up the dial on the malt, and that's what makes that beer so good, is that balance that stands up to that hoppiness.
For sure, yes. You know, I tasted a new brewery yesterday, and that was part of my feedback. You know, it's like, look, if you want to go this high with the bitterness, that's cool. But the malt has to be there to back it up.
Put the backbone in there.
You know,
yep.
because I need some sweetness with that intense bitterness. Otherwise, I don't want, you know, I don't want another sip.
Yep, it tastes mm-hmm. thin, and nothing pisses me off more than thin beer. There should be some texture to it.
I don't mind a little thin beer if that's mm-hmm. what it is. Like, if the hops are almost not there, like, say, Guinness. Guinness, to me, is thin.
It is.
I
well,
like
it's
that.
Only 3.5%.
3.5%.
Yeah.
It's a thin beer. And I can drink, you know,
mm-hmm.
20 of them.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. But if you want to, you know, punch up those hops, you have to punch up the malt.
Yep.
And,
I agree.
You know, period.
Yep. Otherwise, it's hop water, and that's not a pleasant experience.
It's not. It's mm-hmm. not. Just like Malort.
I mean, go back to Malort. Starting to get the shakes, wanting a shot of
Malort. We're gonna do one.
Do we get
this.
A server down here?
Yeah,
bring us a shot
yeah.
of Malort.
Yeah. Oh man,
it could happen.
Oh, I'm down. Yeah. Absolutely. I will almost never turn down a shot of Malort.
Yeah, I'm with you. And the great thing too is you can get your friends and family
mm-hmm.
and still enjoy it when you're doing it if you mm-hmm. like Malort, because you know. They're suffering, but you're having a great time.
That's right.
Yeah.
It takes the edge off of hanging around with your
you
family.
Fuck,
yeah, yeah.
fuck with your friends and family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Should we tell Sam that one?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the purpose of Malort for me,
yeah.
is to fuck with people.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's the only reason I kept it at my bar. And then suddenly people were ordering it to paying for it.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, what's going on? Sure you want this?
Yeah, yeah.
I only use this to fuck with people who want a free shot on their birthday.
You used to be
really
like,
want one. Okay, sure.
You used to be like a dusty bottle and you used to not charge.
Yeah, yeah. yeah well, yeah, no yeah. one ever ordered it. I only, you know, I was like,
yeah, yeah.
Where's my birthday? Can I have a free shot? Of course you can. Here
yeah,
you go.
Here it is.
Oh, man. Pat, did you want to briefly talk about this this article from Beer Advocate about the hoppy... The hoppy
pills? Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, so the article in essence was upset. Andy Crouch, I believe, was the author,
mm-hmm.
You know, great beer writer.
I have a couple of his books on my shelf.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. And, you know, he does good work. Anyway, this article was about the influx of the hoppy pilsner. And, you know, it's gone on the last year or two. He kind of threw Goose Island under the bus for their 4-star pils, which is pretty hoppy. I'm going to throw Revolution under the bus for their Pilsner, which drinks like an IPA to me. And both of these beers, by the way, I like. I like both of the beers.
Yeah.
I will drink them. But when I order a Pilsner, when I see Pilsner on the label and I see Pilsner on the beer menu, I am looking for a specific beer experience that does not involve mosaic hops
mm-hmm.
or, you know, hints of mango and pineapple and all that. You know, I don't want any of that. I want a clean, crisp,
mm-hmm.
noble hopped beer,
mm-hmm.
period. So, you know, I would like to call... The funny thing is, the reason they're doing this is because they're venturing into this brave new world of lagers, right? Of pilsners that, you know, aren't associated normally with the Goose Island label or the Revolution label or any of these craft breweries. And they're going, oh, well, we normally sell a lot of hoppy beer. How are we going to get our drinkers, you know, hooked on a lager? Well, let's hop it up, you know? Which, you know, it's probably working. I'm not, you know, both of those beers probably spill more, you know, a year than Poor Tracy even makes.
Yeah, no doubt.
So it works. I'm not, you know, but as Andy Crouch pointed out, it's a trend that needs a new name, you know? Let's call it American Lager or,
sure.
I don't know, I'll let the nerds come up with a name for it.
Mm-hmm.
Although I do have 5 or 6 suggestions.
They just need to pay you real
time. Right, I am a nerd.
I was going to say, because you're not a nerd.
No, not at all. Not me. No. Oh, don't identify with that. but, you know, I think it's hilarious that, you know, back in the day, everyone was trying to, you know, have a bridge-building beer from the Bud Light and Miller Light drinkers. Hey, why don't you come join us over in the craft world? That here's, you know, something mild. And now we're on the opposite end. And maybe that's, you know, it's a nice sign, maybe. I don't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they're actually trying to get some hoppy lovers to venture into the lager world.
Yep.
And, you know, like I said, I like both those beers. I will drink them both, no problem. But I just want a different label. Maybe it's the BJCP judge in me.
Sure.
You know, the style Nazi is always in the back of my psyche.
Sure.
Even though I'm, you know, tried not to go there. But, you know, what are your thoughts on that, Tracy?
Well, I'm a stickler about lagers, too. I want those. For me, the characteristics clean, dry, and well-balanced have to be there in order for me to think that it's a well-made lager. Mainly out of respect for people who've been making lagers for thousands of years. So, you know, creativity through discipline. So I think, you know, manipulating with the, you know, messing with the recipe is very American, and that's legit, but you better know where that foundation comes from before you start dancing around in that territory. For my taste, I'm with you, Pat. When I want a pilsner, I want a pilsner. And if you're going to do something like use American hops or something like that, let me know, you know,
right.
Tell me in
yeah,
some way. And
know.
Andy's idea of, you know, coming up with our own name is also a very American thing to do, you know, come up with our own style. And that's legit. But for us, we're trying to tell a story here. And we're trying to explain this is the origins of beer, and this is the origins of lagering. And, you know, even like our Arkwalder, our Dark Rye, which is now a fall release, is not technically, I mean, Rheinheitsgebot has been repealed, but, you know, we can still talk about it. You know, it's not Rheinheitsgebot because we put rye in it and we use rice hulls so that the brewers don't, you know, hang themselves in the, you know, hang them at the end of the day
right.
from frustration. You know, when we take a step off of that territory of what German-style lagers are, it's very purposeful, and it's coming out of knowledge of where we're coming from. So I guess in a long-winded way I'm saying, it's legit, but tell me about it. Don't call it a pilsner and try to sell me on American-hopped pilsner, because it's not going to work.
And I think, too, like, it just pays respect to the Germans. I mean,
yes.
If you're going to, I mean,
yep.
The Germans are so particular about how they brew.
Well, we won that war. We don't have to.
Back to back.
Oh, poor Germans.
Back to back.
We're not going into it.
Yeah,
that's
not
good.
They also make awesome music, FYI.
Yeah,
they do. And, you know, maybe my stance on it is old fashioned. You know, I don't want to impede anyone's creativity
of course
by it,
not.
You know.
I would be far more critical of flawed beer.
Me
where
too.
It's under attenuated
yes.
Or it's got diacetyl or, you know, it has no head or I would be far more critical of that. But in terms of drinking a pilsner with mosaic hops, I'll probably just roll my eyes and be like, oh, okay, it's clean, but that's not what I was looking for.
Right. Right.
And I feel like it's a fair compromise where you're like, hey, just call it something else.
You know,
still
yeah.
make it.
You know, like, we could talk about Peebo Pils, right?
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite beers. Mm-hmm. But it does say on the label a hoppy lager, right? It says it on there. It does say Pils. And, by the way, the hops are German, I believe. I think Saftier is the main hop.
We could look it up.
Someone's looking that up right now.
Yeah.
That's Firestone Walker, right?
Firestone Walker, Peebo Pils. But, you know, they put it on there, a hoppy lager. So that you know, this is pretty hoppy. You know?
I love their beers, and I love that beer. Their beers are always clean and well done and intelligent. And that's something I appreciate in anything that I appreciate, music, beer. If you're trying to tell me something, if you're trying to tell me a story, the Firestone Walker story is beautiful. I mean, when you taste a Firestone Walker beer, you know what it is. And Peebo is fantastic. I would say, I would call it a hoppy lager, or even I would go, it's a Czech style lager. Because Czech lagers tend to be a little on the more bitter side.
Sure, yeah.
So,
So you guys, switch topics a little bit. Exciting news here for Metropolitan. I remember I took a brewery tour back in when you guys opened, and it's up in Ravenswood.
Yep.
And you can correct me if I'm wrong. I just going off the internet.
Oh,
here.
I will, Bruce.
Well, and, you know, my motto for the internet is if it's on the internet, it's got to be true. So, you know, you gotta help me here. But I believe it's a So you're in Ravenswood, 4,500 square foot space.
Yep.
And you're moving to Avondale.
Yep.
To a 20,000 square feet.
22,000 square feet, including our tap room.
Awesome.
Yep, we call it Metropolitan at 3057. It's 3057 North Rockwell, on Rockwell, in a little industrial area in between Belmont and Elston. So right near Kuma's Original Beer Temple.
It's going to be a good spot.
Yeah, and we are taking 22,000 square feet, and I think the building itself is 120,000 square feet. We are the northern anchor of the project, and Metropolis Coffee, Tony Dreyfus, friend of mine, delightful guy, same business ideals, owns Metropolis Coffee. And so they're the southern anchor. And then between us are going to be food stalls of all Chicago artisanal food products, so chocolate, pastries, things like that. It's a great project, partly developed, you know, it's a Paul Levy project, but David Baum is also involved, who did Green Exchange, so really Chicago people. And David Baum is another guy whose business acumen is kind of along with ours, which is, you know, if you keep belching up condos everywhere, where is anyone going to make anything in Chicago? So they're all about, you know, Chicago artisanal work, and we are absolutely stoked about it. We're finally going to have a tap room. I want to throw an Oktoberfest every year that lays a crater in Avondale at the end of it. But we're stoked to have people in and show them around and show them what we do. You know, we're asses to elbows in Ravenswood. You know, our ops guy literally shows up early every day to put stuff out on the sidewalk because we don't have the room to do what we're doing. We can't have the public in there. It's just simply not safe anymore because we're so cramped. So we're excited about this. This will be our home. This gets us to the end of our business plan, and we're just going to give out a few dozen great jobs and enjoy ourselves. And you know, we'll be able to do more collaborations. We're going to have some special beers in the tap room. We're obviously going to have a coffee beer all the time.
Right.
I mean, between coffee, chocolate, and beer, all they need to do is put a spa in that building, and I'll never leave. I'll just move in there.
Am I finally going to get my Maybach?
Yes. Oh, I will Maybach you up, Pat. That will happen. Yes. Hey, for beer week, I'll do a Maybach for you. For
done.
Craft beer week, for Bud.
I'm in.
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah.
Good.
I better make a note, so I tell Doug. But no, for sure. We have barely scratched the surface on what German beers can be. And Maybach is definitely on the list. I love Bachs. You know, we do our Doppelbach, we do a Hellesbach for the Radler in Logan Square, and there's a lot to explore. We did a great collab with Two Brothers last year, a very tongue-in-cheek IPL with them, and it wound up delicious. Hopefully you got a chance to try. I think it really showcased the malt characteristics of Metropolitan and the hop characteristics of Two Brothers beers.
Yeah, I
we called it false dichotomy.
I like that style, and I, you know, I think if you want to showcase hops, lagers are a nice vehicle for that because you're not, you don't have those esters in the way. You know, and I think we're going to see some more of that. And I'm, you know, I want to reiterate that I don't dislike hoppy lagers. I just, you know,
want them labeled correctly.
I don't want them called pilsners.
Well, you know, you want to know what you're getting into. I mean, that's why things like, you know, going to a bar and getting samples is a good idea, or going to a beer fest is a good idea, because you can sort of explore that and decide what you think about it. If I buy a six pack of pilsner and I crack it and I'm tasting American hops, I'm gonna be like, you jerks.
Right,
you know.
Right. Yeah, it's just it's a style too near and dear to my heart.
Agreed.
Be tasting like an IPA.
Agreed.
And I also want to compliment, because I was reading the there's a couple articles online if you want to read more about the expansion plans, and I was reading one in Crane's, and I just liked, I feel like these days with the craft beer boom, everybody's racing to become, you know, these huge mega national breweries, and you guys seem to be taking a very kind of conservative and and very local approach. Which I thought was great.
Both my business partner and I made a lot more money before we opened this brewery.
Yeah.
We do this because we love it. We love the people in the industry. We love the work. We love making things. You know, we love telling the story, the history of beer. And no, for us, it's not, you know, bring your tourism dollars here and drink the beer here and support beer made here. Our business plan gets us throughout the Midwest, and that's it. Basically, a day's drive is the parameter. And then we can do, from that foundation of making great beer, we can support the community, we can do more charity work, we can help develop other people. You know, my long-term goals are to be an investment angel. I would like to support more local businesses and, you know, be part of a community. I think when your world domination is your goal, you're not going to focus on that, and that's our focus. And that's why I work with my ex-husband, is we, those foundational ideas of being part of a community and telling a great story and living a good life and giving, you know, the people who work for you a great life, that is what we're after. If we both wanted to make a lot more money, we sure shit would not be in here.
How much bigger are you guys going to be?
On the outs, I mean, you grow, so we're going to grow into the space. The end of the business plan is roughly between 45 and 50,000 barrels a year.
That's a lot.
It's a lot for us, but, you know, if you look at some of the other ones that have different business plan ideas, it's not. But that'll serve, you know, the area we want to serve. It'll give out the number of jobs that we want to give out, and it'll give us the financial foundation to do some of the other things that we want to do.
Is it the same brew house?
Nope. In fact, I posted yesterday.
That
was exciting. we have right now we've been working with a 2-vessel, 15-barrel system, and we are up now to a 3-vessel, 30-barrel system. And it'll give us room. We can put, I believe, 2 more vessels in and what that does is increases your ability to brew more in a day. And that'll happen over time. But that system will serve us to the end of our business plan.
And I read this, so correct me if I'm wrong, that the space in Ravenswood and the equipment might be for sale at some point?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
And do not email me about it, because that's not my department. We're going to sell Ravenswood turnkey to somebody, and they're going to get a really nice system, a row of tanks, and the infrastructure they need. Anything we've purchased over the past couple of years is coming with us. So packaging, larger tanks, things like that. But, it'll be available to
Bruce
one of these.
Bruce keeps looking at me. We'll talk after.
You and I have had some drunken conversations about this, too fat. I'm hoping one of these.
Unfortunately, I've waited it out until the point where it's probably not a great time to open.
Well, if you make good beer.
True.
Because I think that's what the longevity.
It's a lot of pressure.
Pat Burger's hoppy pilsners.
Yeah.
All day long.
All day long.
Hoppy pilsners. Focus groups. All the beers. We'll get some focus groups together.
Yep. And we'll get everybody's opinion.
Cranberry IPA.
We'll name them first. Name them first, and then come up with the beer after.
I've heard that.
That's great. No worries if you don't feel comfortable answering this, because I know that setting a date when you're open is is always tricky, because there's always delays, and I feel like the beer world is so complicated with everything. But do you have a projected, hopeful opening date?
2017.
Okay. All right. You heard it here first. So follow.
Could be tomorrow.
This would be a good plug for following you guys on all the social medias to make sure that
I put everything there. Yeah. So at Metro Brewing on Instagram, at Metro Brewing on Twitter, and then Facebook is obvious. But yeah, the news and updates are there. And you know, Michael Kaiser at Good Beer Hunting will cover it. Cranes is covering us. Josh Knoll too. So yeah, if you keep your finger on the pulse of Chicago media, you'll know plenty.
All right.
That's awesome. But it's about time to wrap it up. So why don't we go around and talk about any last thoughts and things going on with our respective businesses and lives. Bruce, let's start with you. What's going on?
Well, I've been mentioning this forever. It's only taking years because I'm sloth-like in how I do things, but drunken sloth. But I'm probably going to be doing a tasting class in early March at Chop Shop over in Bucktown.
Very good.
They wanted to kind of have something, and I've prepared a class over the course of the last year or so. It's good. It's not. It's going to be more entertainment versus educational, but there'll still be a lot of beer education too.
Great.
Sounds awesome. A date for that? What's that?
I believe it's going to be March 4th. So if you follow us on social media and stuff, we'll definitely push that out.
Awesome.
And we're touring, so if you want to take a beer tour, it's good. Nothing gets you going on Valentine's Day like beer and bacon, right?
Yeah.
So true. Couldn't say that from experience. Yeah. It sells itself. Trace, I know we've covered your expansion and everything. Anything going on in the near future? You got any events or you going to be pouring beer anywhere?
I'm everywhere. With the expansion, we're going to release a new beer, so you can look forward to that.
A new year-rounder?
I think we're going to put it in a summer slot.
Okay.
Keep the 4 year-round beers the way they are for now.
Hoppy Pilsner?
Yeah, it'll be a hoppy pilsner named Pat Burger's very own beer. But that's it. No, we basically talked about everything that's going on in my world right now. How about you?
I am going to shamelessly plug an event that we have coming up on February 17th at Patty Long's Friday. I got together, it kind of happened organically, some people from Firestone Walker and Three Floyds and Half Acre, and we're all, you know, a little bit upset about some recent things. So this is going to be a fundraiser for Refugee One, which is a group that I've worked with before. I did a beer with Illuminated that a dollar every pint went to Refugee One, and this is going to be a kind of a chill out event where we're going to listen to light 70s FM yacht rock, and 10% of the sales for that day are going to go towards Refugee One.
Oh, that's
excellent,
awesome.
Pat.
I'll definitely push that. That's really cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
My pleasure. No, it's, yeah. And I also, big news, I got invited to Sierra Nevada Beer Camp.
Wonderful.
Oh, yes.
I did Milwaukee 2 years ago. That you are going to love that.
I'm super excited.
Or, I mean, I did the fest. I didn't do. You're going out to brew the beer.
I'm going out to brew beer. Not one of the ones that you're going to find in the national rollout 12-pack.
Okay.
But, you know, they do it every month. They send out accounts to basically come up with the beer and brew it. We'll brew it that day. I'm, of course, pushing for a lager.
Yay!
We'll see if I can enforce my will on the rest of the participants. There's 12 of us, so...
So you all collectively decide?
Yeah, there's going to be an email thread going around where we all kind of throw out ideas. And I'm I'm super psyched. We're going. It's the brewery in North Carolina.
Is that Asheville? Is that?
No.
It is Asheville, but I think technically it's right outside. I don't know. Yeah. I think it's in a different city, but it's right by Asheville, and it's supposed to be just the Taj Mahal of breweries. I am super excited. Sierra Nevada is one of my all-time favorites.
Mine
certainly
too. Mm-hmm. One of the
that
foundational.
Changed my life.
Yep.
I'm super psyched. So that's what's going on in my world.
Awesome. Sweet. Congrats. You're going to have a great time doing that.
Yeah. Chris is coming too, my business partner.
Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
I've partied with you guys.
Yeah. The Irishman is coming as well. So get ready for the leprechaun.
I saw him at the Ale House over on North Ave.
It's probably there right
last
now.
Last weekend, yes.
Oh, someday
he never listens to this podcast either,
me.
So we can say anything mean about him we want. He'll never know.
I'll tell him.
Oh, man.
All right, so great time, Tracy. Thank you so much for taking this time out of your busy day.
Yeah.
It's not easy, and we appreciate it. So, we are signing off another Beer Opinions podcast. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.